Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show, we are going to discuss software test estimation approaches and their effect on software quality assurance. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions that you would like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right. Let's get started. What's the best approach to software test estimation? Well, there's no real simple answer to this. The best approach is highly dependent on the particular organization and project and the experience of the personnel involved. For example, let's say we have two software projects of similar complexity and size. The appropriate test effort for one project might be very large if it were for life-critical medical equipment software, but it might be much smaller for the other project if it were for a computer game. And I've worked on some life-critical medical equipment software when I was working on knowledge-based systems that were monitoring patients in the ER, and I've worked on projects of similar complexity that were analyzing consumer software. Similar size, similar complexity, but different levels of criticality, so to speak. So a test estimation approach that only considered size and complexity would have been appropriate for the consumer-based software, but wouldn't have necessarily been appropriate for the software that was going into the emergency room in a hospital. So here are some different approaches that you might consider. First, there's an implicit risk context approach. Typical approach to test estimation is for a project manager or for a quality assurance manager to implicitly use the risk context in combination with past personal experiences in the organization to choose a level of resources to allocate to testing. The thing is that in many organizations, the risk context is assumed to be similar from one project to next, which means that there's no explicit consideration of the risk context. And that risk context might include factors such as the organization's typical software quality levels, the software's intended use, the experience level of the developers and the testers. So this is essentially an intuitive guess based upon experience. The second approach is a metrics-based approach. And that's tracking past experience of an organization's various projects and the associated test effort that worked well for projects. So once there's a set of data that cover characteristics for a reasonable number of projects, then that past experience information is used for future test project planning. Now, of course, determining and collecting useful project metrics over time can be an extremely difficult task. Now, for each particular new project, the expected, in quotes, required test time can be adjusted based upon whatever metrics or other information are available, such as the function point count, the number of external system interfaces, the unit testing done by developers, the risk levels of the project, etc. But in the end, this is essentially judgment based upon documented experience. And that's not really easy to do successfully. A third approach is test work breakdown approach. That's decomposing the expected testing task into a collection of small tasks. And then, in theory, you do estimates on each of those collections of small tasks with some reasonable accuracy. But this, of course, assumes that an accurate and predictable breakdown of those testing tasks and their estimated effort is feasible. But for many large projects, that's not the case. For example, if there are a large number of bugs being found in a project, that's going to add to the time required for testing and retesting and bug analysis and reporting. And it's also going to add to the time required for development. And if the development schedules and efforts do not go as planned, that's going to further impact testing. And the problem is, if you're finding a large number of bugs and you don't adjust your schedules to take into account that time that's going to be required for the testing and retesting, then things slip further and further and further beyond schedule. A fourth approach is an iterative approach. In this approach for large test efforts, you make an initial rough testing estimate. Once the testing begins, you do a more refined estimate after a small percentage, let's say 1% of the first estimate's work is done. Now, at this point, testers have obtained some additional test project knowledge. They have a better understanding of issues, they have a better understanding of the general software quality, they have a better understanding of the risk. Then you can refactor the test plans, refactor the schedules, and come up with a new estimate. Then you do a better estimate of the schedule after a somewhat larger percentage, 2% of the new work estimate is done. And you keep doing that cycle as necessary or as appropriate. Now, if you think 1% is too fine a granularity, then you do it at 5% or 10% intervals. Another approach is percentage of development. Some organizations use a quick estimation effort for testing, and that's based upon the estimated programming effort. As an example, let's say that your project is estimated to require 1,000 hours of programming effort. And let's say that in the the organization normally finds that a 40% ratio for testing is appropriate. Then the organization would estimate that 400 hours of time is going to be required for testing. Now, this approach may or may not be useful, depending upon the project-to-project variation in risk, or personnel, or types of applications, or levels of complexity. Now, successful test estimation is a challenge for most organizations, since few can accurately estimate software project development efforts, much less the testing effort of a project. And it's also difficult to attempt these testing estimates without first having the detailed information about the project, including the detailed requirements and the organization's experience with similar projects in the past, and an understanding of what should be included in a testing estimation for a project. Should we be having functional testing? Should we be having unit testing? Should we be having reviews? Should we be having inspections? Should we be having load testing? Should we be having security testing? In other words, what should we be putting in the testing estimate? Some of these items? Now, with agile software development approaches, these test effort estimations may be unnecessary if pure test-driven development is utilized. However, it's not uncommon to have a mix of some automated positive type unit tests, along with some type of separate manual or automated functional testing. In general, agile-based projects, by their very nature, will not be heavily dependent upon large, one-shot testing efforts, because they emphasize the construction of releasable software in very short iteration cycles. These smaller, multiple test effort estimates may not be as difficult to estimate, so the impact of inaccurate estimates will be less severe. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions, or if you have comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there's a show that you would like for me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thank you again for your time today, and please remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.